Of announcements I'd like to call to your attention. It is 2009 and things are starting over. First of all, the flower calendar. If you will notice in the newsletter, the flower calendar has openings, and if you would like to reserve a special time, a special date, you need to call the office or go online and reserve that date. The gathering begins again, and it starts this week. If you have had a reservation, you need to start over, so make certain that you get your reservations in. If you are interested in your group preparing a meal for the gathering, please contact Kathy Kelly. Now, the first three meetings are going to have to do with financial issues for 2009 and the focus of the church on those issues. They're going to cover a wide range of topics, explaining apportionments. They're going to be talking about tithing. They're going to be talking about estate planning. They're going to be all sorts of issues that will be discussed in the first three meetings for the gathering here in January. In February, the book studies will begin again. Today is a wonderful opportunity to participate in the mission and the outreach of this church. You know that Steve Skinner is going on a medical mission trip to Honduras. Today, immediately after the worship service, is going to be pill packing time. And for those of you who've done that before, it's really a lot of fun, you know. And those of you who hadn't, you don't have to be a mathematician to do this. They give you nice little diagrams of how many you have to put in each slot to count out. So let me urge you to participate with the pill packing. If you read your newsletter, you also notice that the Methodist men will celebrate Bring a Date Night. And that will take place January the 20th at 5:30. They urge you to bring a date, men, and come hear Trey Ward play and talk about bluegrass music. And a reminder that tonight at 5 p.m. in the youth room, there will be a parents' meeting. UMYF will start at 6 o'clock. Now, let us continue our worship.
Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship. The powerful voice of God created all worlds. That same voice calls us to worship. Ascribe to our God glory and strength. Come before God's glorious majesty. God's strength shakes the wilderness. That same strength is offered to people of faith. The flames of God penetrate our cold hearts. May God bless all people with true peace. Come together to remember your baptism. Gather to celebrate the Spirit's gifts. The heavens open to us at the word of God. Surely God forgives and makes us whole.
Join me in the invocation. In the beginning, O God, you fashioned a universe. Each star and planet had its beginning in you. Out of the void you brought light and life. Through eons of creativity you have acted. Today we are here, inheritors of an amazing process. tiny specks in the limitless reaches of time and space, and you are here waiting to greet us. As you acted in our baptism, you are acting still to make all things new within us and among us. Let your light awaken us and your Spirit empower us for faithful living. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is found in Genesis 1, 1 through 5. You may find that on page 1 in your pew Bible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join in the reading and singing of the Psalter. We will be using Psalm 29, found on page 761 in your hymnal. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare.
And in his temple all cry, "Glory."
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Reading for today is Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, beginning on page 169 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to come forward for a time of personal prayer, if you wish, during our pastoral prayer time. And before our prayer time, I want to make one announcement for our radio audience and for those of you who are sometimes among our radio audience. From now on our webpage, our church webpage, there will be a current bulletin posted so that you can follow along with the service, have the words of the anthem and such during the radio broadcast. As far as concerns, Mike Williams is continuing to undergo test. Ruth Strock in the hospital continuing to undergo test. Billy Tunstall had some successful surgery in Pennsylvania and is doing well, should be home next week. Amy Gregory Young has undergone a first round of chemo. Let her and John be in our prayers. And Susan Rush, a very regular attender and active in our congregation, also has some further tests and health complications. As far as a celebration, Glenn and Allison Perrin have a new baby boy named Wiley, and we celebrate with them as parents and with the grandparents as well. Let us now go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we have come here for guidance as we follow. We come for grace to love and share and to care for one another. We come because we have tried the world's ways and we have found them empty. We are not our clothes here. We are not our jobs here. We are not our carefully crafted reputations here. Lord, we come as the poor and needy. We come as sinners to the gospel feast. We come to seek your path, your ways, and your light. Lord, touch us past all pretense. And see beyond our mask and fill the hunger in our hearts. Lord, your love and grace are amazing. As we worship, bathe us and heal us with your Spirit and make us whole. Make us useful in the building of your kingdom. We pray now for those in Israel and Gaza, touched and terrified by war and random violence. And we pray for families left jobless and shocked by plant closings and the end of their dreams. We pray for those undergoing tests and awaiting results, for those undergoing surgeries and treatments. And Lord, we pray your will to work things together for the good. In all our ways, we trust you. We give you our hope as the one who holds the future. We lift up now before you in our silent prayers our concerns, our confessions, our thanksgivings, our prayers for one another. Hear now the prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. This morning, I want to test if y'all have been paying attention in church this morning. There's a key word that has been mentioned several times this morning. Does anybody know what that key word is? What? The. Nice try, but not exactly what I'm looking for. There's a certain word that's been mentioned several times in the invocation and in the scripture. Do y'all know what it is? Yeah. Baptism. Excellent. Rakim, you cheated. baptism. We're going to talk about baptism this morning. John the Baptist spent a whole lot of time in his life trying to tell people about Jesus and can you believe that he actually ate locusts? Do you know what a locust is? It's kind of like a grasshopper. He ate wild locusts and wild honey. And at one point, he was baptizing people. And Jesus came, and he baptized Jesus. And John the Baptist didn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. But Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember your baptism? Do y'all remember your baptism? Most of you don't remember because you were a baby, but you've seen other people. Usually in the Methodist Church, we baptize babies, but people can be adults. They can be your age. Some people actually may not even be baptized yet. But this morning, we're going to remember our baptism, and I have recruited some of our youth to help us. So if they could bring me the water over here, please. What's going to happen is, just pour just a little bit of water in there. That's good. They're going to get a bowl of water. And they're going to come around, and they're going to put a little drop of water on your forehead, and they're going to say, "Remember your baptism." And this is going to help us remember that we are baptized, that we're baptized with water, and water makes us clean and pure, and that the Holy Spirit is within us. That's good. Okay, so they can go ahead and start doing that. But we're going to remember our baptism this morning. Is there anybody else that needs to remember their baptism? All right, let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, Thank you for helping us to remember our baptism. Thank you for making us one with you. And we love you so much, Lord. Amen.
Now let us stand and pass the peace. Affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I'm going to ask our sound man today, John Redfern, to switch microphones and use the tie mic. I hear a little bit of an echo in the podium mic today, and I want to make sure I am heard there. There we go. And maybe you can turn that down just a little bit. I don't want to blast people too much. Okay, I think that might be better. One more announcement before I begin the sermon. It is actually a prayer concern. I forgot, and during my private time of prayer, I remembered that Footsie and Eleanor Rice, many of you do not know, were in the hospital this past week with food poisoning, and Eleanor also came down with a complication of pneumonia, but both are now home and doing okay. But Footsie and Eleanor Rice have been sick and were in the hospital this past week. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I hope at least a few of you are curious about my title. It's the corniest title I've ever attempted at Main Street, Remember the Duck. You'll know when it's over what I meant. I hope. Last night, Caroline and I, we spent a lot of time looking on the internet and getting reviews and stuff to see if we could afford to swap our cell phone program and get a new everything phone. Now that she's an executive, she needs an everything phone. Now, they do email and internet and texting. You can watch movies. You can make movies. There's a built-in GPS. A full keyboard will hold hundreds of songs. It can find the cheapest gas, the best coffee, and it can toast bread, but only on one side. We may wait until they get that perfected. You know, as I was reading the reviews, I started thinking, there is an assumption in our culture and in all the TV advertisements that the perfect technology, the right gadget, will make you happy. These tech toys are also supposed to keep you connected with all your friends and family, keep you in touch wherever you are. But I don't think so. Not really. I remember just in the past year, I was walking into a jewelry store downtown to get a new watch battery put into my phone. And as I was walking in, I got a phone call on my cell phone from a member. And I talked all the way through the entire transaction and just using gestures to indicate that I needed a new battery. And the lady opened the back of my watch, put a battery in. I gave her my credit card. I paid. I was still talking to the member on the phone. But I had completely shut out and depersonalized the person in front of me. Technology. We can be in the room with technology, but really somewhere else. We can be talking, but not communicating, because our mind is split in sort of all directions. Things that promise to connect us to friends and family often don't. The slogans, the scripts of the commercials don't pan out. And I would venture to say that most of us, to some degree, are not only disconnected from others around us, to some degree we are disconnected from ourselves. I'm making a turn here. The world does that to you. An example that's personal. I remember in my first congregation, and to some degree in every new congregation, I hear and I listen to what the people want a preacher to be, what a preacher is supposed to be. And I look at myself and I realize, I'm not that. What do I do? Well, I try to be something more like the people expect, but then I find that I really can't. And so I am disconnected from the real me. And by trying to be someone else's script, I'm not me. And that's not just preachers, folks. We all have scripts written for us by other people. Bosses write them, family, social circles, schoolmates when you're younger, others in our profession, husbands, wives, children, scripts of what and how and when and what flavor we should be. And all these scripts have the implied promise that if you dress right, if you do it just right, if you behave just so, then you'll be happy and on everyone's buddy list. Just follow the script. Theologian Walter Brueggemann says that the church's job, my job each week, is to help you detach from the earthly, worldly scripts and the promises of happiness and to tell you that there is an alternative script of what is real, what is important, and what you are here for. Baptism is the foundation of that. One of my favorite stories is, and I've told it before, but I love it. A family was in church during an infant baptism, and they sat on the very front row so they could watch. And a little six-year-old girl was a member of that family, and she was focused intently on what the preacher was doing and on the baptism. And with a puzzled look on her face in the middle of the service, the girl turned to her father and said, "Daddy, why is he brainwashing that little baby?" Well, brainwashing is not quite what I do, but like John the Baptist, I am calling you to a purposeful, God-centered life. And like John the Baptist, I'm here to remind you that God has a mighty claim on your life. Most of you here have been baptized. How is that working for you? How are you living out that baptism? Does it sometimes give you pause to think when you're at a critical juncture, wait a minute, I am baptized. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that or have this or that in order to become a full-fledged person. I am already a claimed and named child of God. I am baptized. I already have a script. I already have a foundational assumption about what is real and what matters and what is my purpose. It involves God. It involves others. And it involves a recognition of my own tendency to sin and my mighty claim on God's grace which has been claimed and applied and belongs to me in baptism. I have a script. And Jesus lived out God's script perfectly. He did not, you'll remember, try to please those with power over him. He did not get, as they say in the Low Country, mealy-mouthed about what is right and what is wrong. And he called hypocrites, hypocrites. And he partied at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And he spoke boldly to power people who could have him killed and did have him killed. And maybe that's not in your future or mine, but who knows? Maybe it is. But as for Jesus, his script was not to be what someone else wanted him to be. His script was to be what God wanted him to be. Jesus didn't worry about who was in and cool and hang out only with them. Quite the opposite. He hung out with people who were real and really looking for something other than the newest and best. He hung out with outcasts, honest outcasts. I'm trying to say that very often we look in all the wrong places. Your baptism was the beginning of your life with God. Your baptism should be a powerful force in making choices, large and small. It should be a powerful force in reminding us of who we are and to whom we belong. They say that when the Protestant reformer Martin Luther was depressed and overwhelmed, you know, his life was threatened many times, he would write with his finger in Latin in the dust, "Baptizatus sum." I have been baptized. Baptism sets us apart. Whether we like it or not, we are going to spend the rest of our lives playing off of it or trying to ignore it, but considering what it means to be baptized. It means something. It means something deep, something foundational, and something which already lays a particular road and destination before us. A road that we sometimes depart from. But still, we are baptized. And that means we can be and are already forgiven. Forgiven. Named and claimed by God's grace. And it gives us a group membership too. We don't consider enough that we are
one with other baptized Christians all over the world. We are one with them. We need to name and claim that kinship too. Many of them are suffering and threatened and even killed for the same faith, same baptism, same Jesus we believe in. We are brothers and sisters with them and with each other. And I want to share something personally here. I truly wish I could get past my own upbringing, my own scripts, and call each of you brother and sister. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I was given a script that says, no, middle-class Methodists don't do that. I want to. And one day I will, because it is true. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. We are one faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism. And so we spend our lives fighting the urge to take this exit ramp off the path we know is before us, or that exit ramp. And all along we are called and we know to follow after God on the path that Jesus trod. We can and do repent, means turn around back toward God and grow in our faith. Repent means turn back. Turn back toward God. Just as the prodigal son woke up and came to himself and turned back to his waiting father and found him waiting there with open arms, we are called to repent, to turn back to God when we take the exit ramps, the dead ends away. The wonderful thing about Christian faith is that we believe we can be forgiven. Sin is real, but God's grace even more real. Don't get stuck on the exit ramp to guilt because your father waits with open arms. I love this short little poem that Ogden Nash wrote. He said, there is only one way to achieve happiness on this terrestrial ball, and that is to have either a clear conscience or none at all. There is a story that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the English writer who created the character Sherlock Holmes, that he actually did this, playing on folks' guilt and how they can get stuck in it. He decided to play a practical joke on 12 of his best friends, and he knew them all, and he didn't know all the details of their lives, but he knew them and knew human nature well enough. He sent each one of these 12 good friends a telegram that read, "Flee at once. All is discovered." Within 24 hours, all 12 had left the country. We cannot flee sin, but we can repent and turn from it and back to God. One of the most public repentings took place on September 10th, 1998. Then President Clinton said, "I don't think there is a fancy way to say that I have sinned." And then he quoted from a book called The Gates of Repentance. It was at a prayer breakfast. The passage read, "Now is the time for turning. The leaves are beginning to turn from green to red to orange. The birds are beginning to turn or headed once more toward the south. The animals are beginning to turn to storing their food for the winter. For leaves and birds and animals, turning comes instinctively, but for us, turning does not come so easily. It takes an act of the will for us to make a turn. It means breaking old habits. It means admitting that we have been wrong, and this is never easy. It means losing face. It means starting all over again, and this is always painful. It means saying, 'I am sorry.' It means recognizing that we have the ability to change. These things are terribly hard to do, but unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways." He ended this presentation with this prayer: "Lord, help us to turn from callousness to sensitivity, from hostility to love, from pettiness to purpose, from envy to contentment, from carelessness to discipline, from fear to faith. Turn us around, O Lord, and bring us back toward you. Revive our lives as at the beginning and turn us toward each other, Lord, for in isolation there is no life." If you go back and study the Gospels, you'll find something very interesting about the way Jesus dealt with sinners. Not one time did Jesus ever attack a sinner who admitted he was a sinner. He simply said, "I forgive you. But with a vengeance, he did attack the self-righteous and those who refused to acknowledge their sin, because he knew that until they felt guilty, they would not seek forgiveness. We all sin. And even those who have been baptized sin. Even children will sin, and their tendency to sin is recognized in advance by baptizing them. We know they will, and we know they need God's grace from the moment they are born, and they will need God's grace every day from then on. Baptism of infants is the recognition that God's grace is here waiting for us from the moment we arrive. Claim the promise of God's grace. Claim the power of God to set us right and to direct us and give us purpose and redemption. The whole process means a lifetime of turning back to God. The other roads are dead ends. The path of isolation sometimes seems safe. To build your house on the top of a mountain and put a gate around it and stay away from people, it seems safe, but there are no people there. And we are made for each other. So each time we turn to God, God in turn sends us out to each other. I occasionally wish it were different, but that is what God does. And it cost. Loving each other cost. Serving God cost. Now, I want to end with a story by Dr. Richard Hoffer. He was a professor at Lutheran Seminary in Columbia, and he wrote this in a book entitled Will Daylight Come? Wonderful story, and it's where the duck comes in. A little boy visiting his grandparents was given his first slingshot. He practiced it in the woods, and he couldn't hit anything. He went back into his grandmother's yard, where he spied her pet duck. On an impulse, he took aim and let it fly. He thought, what's the harm? I can't hit anything. Well, this time the stone hit the duck right in the head, and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. And he desperately looked around, and he hid the duck in the wood pile, only to look up and see his sister Sally observing the whole thing. She said nothing. But after lunch, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. Sally looked at Johnny and said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today, didn't you, Johnny? And she whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny did the dishes. And later, Grandpa asked if anybody wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper. Sally smiled and she said, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it. And she whispered, remember the duck. Johnny stayed. Sally went fishing. Several days went on like this, and Johnny was doing both his chores and Sally's chores, and finally he couldn't stand it anymore, and he confessed to Grandma that he had killed her pet duck. Grandma said, I know, Johnny, I know. I was standing at the window, I saw the whole thing, and because I love you, I forgave you, and I wondered how long you were going to let Sally make a slave of you. What's your duck? What duck do you keep remembering? Don't get stuck in guilt. Your Father waits with open arms. Remember, temptation comes even after baptism. Maybe especially right after Jesus' baptism, Jesus was tempted. And so it is not strange that we hear whispers in our ear when we try to grow in our faith and act out our Christian faith in the world. We hear a little whisper, remember, you are a liar. Remember, you are a cheater. Remember, you are a loser. Remember, you are an addict. Remember, you are a failure. We all have these remember the duck moments and people in our lives. People who, like Sally, find it convenient for one reason or another to try to keep us in our place. Who are constantly whispering, remember the duck. Well, listen more closely. More closely to the still, quiet voice of God's Holy Spirit, and you will hear, instead of remember the duck, remember your baptism. Remember God's grace. Remember the water of repentance and rebirth. Remember the ongoing gift of the Holy Spirit who beckons us into the world to do the impossible for God and the gospel. Remember your baptism. Caroline and I, when we were in Africa a few years ago on an UMVIM trip, We worked side by side with a young man, a local there in Zimbabwe, and he had changed his name at baptism. I don't know what his old name was, but after his baptism, he changed his name to Freedom. Freedom. That's your name too. Freedom from the law of sin and death. Freedom to grow in God's grace past hatred, past slavery to lust or addictions, or confusing your self-worth with things of dust. Freedom to serve others and not care that it isn't fashionable among your peers. Freedom to accept the power and ability from God the Holy Spirit to forgive instead of retaliate, to love instead of hate, to be more like the founder of our faith whose name has claimed us, Jesus Christ. Fellow baptized Christians, I salute you in your freedom and in your journey so far. Remember your baptism and be done with the duck. Amen. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father who waits with open arms, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who offers grace upon grace, and the presence and the power and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit even in this moment to set us right on the path to God and out to others. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.